Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 117, and today is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2013. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get going. All right, so first, an explanation for why there wasn't a show last week. I was doing a whole lot of different family stuff, Easter-related, getting out of the house while it was painted, all kinds of things, and it just didn't work to get it done. So I'm sorry about that. If you were looking forward to an episode, hopefully I can make this one twice as good, and that'll hopefully offset that a little bit. So what I'm going to be talking about today, and it'll be one topic for the whole show, it has a couple of different angles, but is essentially I've been working on FeedWrangler. I've been heading into the phase a little bit of starting to work on performance and performance management and kind of how to make things go, work in a more performant way, I guess. And so basically, I was trying to think of a way that how I go about this is almost kind of rote now. Like I just kind of have a pattern and a phase I go into. I was trying to think about why I do it that way and how I could kind of generalize that a little bit. And that's kind of what I'm going to talk about now. And essentially what I've come up with is performance is really can only be solved or improved in one of three ways. And they're very related and there's a little bit of overlap. But basically, you can avoid work, you can defer work, and you can remember work. Those are really the only three things you can do to make something faster. And I'll kind of walk through them in turn, and then also kind of some thoughts I had that kind of come out of that. So the first one, you can avoid work. And this is all about actually improving the algorithmic complexity of what you're doing. So this is, if you come from a CS background, this is one of those things that you can, this is like the complexity of the algorithm or the efficiency of the algorithm. Those types of things where you can actually avoid doing work. And if you don't come from a CS background, I highly recommend going and looking at any of a dozen, just search for like sorting algorithms. This is one of those funny things that I remember from sort of my early days in CS at college, where you talk about how the same operation, if you have a list of numbers and you want to sort them, you can do that sort in a variety of different ways. And the difference in complexity and the amount of effort and like operations it takes to do that can vary dramatically based on how you approach it. You can go from things like quicksort and merge sort, which have what they call logarithmic complexity, to things that, I think there's sort of some sorting algorithms that are like cubic, which if those terms don't make any sense, like I said, go look at a sorting thing. But basically, the way you solve a problem can have a dramatic impact on the amount of time it takes or the resources it takes, probably more generally, and it takes to do it. And so the first thing you can do is kind of see, are there things that I'm doing here that I can avoid doing, that I can just not do, that I can improve my algorithm, my approach, that I can kind of take a different thing to it, and that would improve the performance of my application. And if you can, then that's awesome. That's a great way. This sort of like free, it's free, in terms of you're not, all you're getting, it's like you're just changing slightly how you do something, and the result is sort of almost all upside. The next area that you can do things is what I said, you can defer things. And this is essentially ways of creating the appearance of performance without necessarily changing the amount of work you do. So if you've gotten to a point that your algorithm, your approach, the way you're tackling a problem is as efficient as possible, or as efficient as reasonably possible, the next thing you can do is you can start deferring work. And this is mostly about optimizing for the user's experience so that they have a perception of high-speed interactivity, whatever it is, that things are going quicker, but whereas they may actually not be the case. Examples of that are, for example, on iOS, is putting things into background threads using Grand Central Dispatch, those types of approaches where the main thread, the thing that the user is actually interacting with, can be very performant. It can go, do very quickly, responsive, all those types of things. But the app's actually doing a lot. It's just doing it in different threads away from the user so the user isn't aware of that work. So this is an example of things where you can take that operation and put it somewhere else in a way that can, say you're doing a big import. You do that off the main thread. You don't lock that up. The user has a perception of performance, even though that same amount of work is still getting done. Similarly, this is something that I've been working in a lot with FeedWrangler is it's in most web applications, you can't do very much during the actual request. If it's any kind of long-lived process, you need to move it onto a background processor, something that is going to be kind of working in the background and having the user interact with it in another way. And that's what something that I've recently been getting into a lot with, you know, everything. Right now I'm using Sidekick, which is just a Rails backgrounding tool that seems to be really, really awesome. And what it allows you to do is you can say, okay, you know, I need to do this long operation. I need to import from Google Reader. I'm going to say, you know, kick that off in the background, and you can come back to the user and say, hey, I started. Hey, I'm doing, you know, I'm updating. Oh, did some work. And you can create the effective appearance of a lot of progress in a way that's much more useful and interesting to a user than if you just, you know, sort of had the request take longer, had it take 60 seconds to complete. It's just not a good user experience. So you can put it off. You can delay it. And then the third area that you can do is that you can remember work. And this is caching. I mean, I'm calling it in that name because it's, you know, it fits well with the structure of the others. But basically, it's just caching. And caching is a very tricky problem, but it's also very powerful. And caching is just when you remember something you've done before so that you don't have to do it again. It's a different kind of avoiding work because obviously you can avoid doing certain kinds of operations if that operation is already – if you've already done it once, you can just not do it again if you remember it. Now, caching is very complicated because you have to make sure that what you're doing is the exact same work that you're trying to avoid. You know, so it's not subtle, it's similar but different. You know, so similar but subtly different could create all kinds of problems for you down the road. And then on the flip side of that too is caching can take a lot of other resources. You're not avoiding work. So I was saying at the beginning when if you avoid work, it's sort of free. It's not really coming at an additional cost typically. And if you just use a more efficient algorithm or those types of things, there's usually not a lot of downside to that. With something like caching, though, you can create all kinds of downsides in terms of now you have to invalidate caches, you have to expire caches, you have to manage them. They can take a lot of space, which can annoy users. And so it's kind of a tricky thing to do. But overall, caching typically is a big win. It typically is something that lets you have a lot of benefits, in terms of performance, because the time it takes to retrieve something is almost always going to be faster than the time it is to regenerate something, certainly for the kind of objects that you'd be looking to cache. And so that's kind of the three approaches that you can take to improving the performance of something. You can avoid it, you can defer it or delay it, and you can remember it for later. And in general, that's really all you can do. And so when I find myself in a performance cycle, when I'm finding myself stuck on something that I want to be faster, that I'm working on a problem and I'm like, I want this to be more responsive. I want this to be faster. I want this to look better for the user. That's really the three things that I do. And I kind of work through them, generally speaking, in that order, that I'll try and see, is there a way that I can do this more efficiently? And often there is. Often there is, when I'm building something initially, what I'm doing is just attacking it from the most I had a professor in college who always used to call it the naive solution. And the naive solution is usually the obvious one that gets the result the most quickly, the result in the quickest in terms of your development time, but not the quickest in terms of the actual computational time. And so often I'll just build the naive solution and that's fine. I'll build it, I'll deploy it, and then it gives me a good starting point from which I can work. And I'll say, hey, can I make this faster? Am I doing stuff here in a way that's silly? Am I iterating over something in ways that I really don't need to? Can I break out of this loop? Would that help this better? Can I split up the work? There's all kinds of things you can do to kind of make something faster. And then once I've kind of got to that point, then it's like, okay, well, this is how long this is going to take to do, no matter what. That's what I'm saying. This is as performant as can be. Is there a way that I can do this in a way that the user won't notice? Can I defer this off of the user's attention so that they don't have to worry about the time it's taking? And I'll try to work that out. Like I said, on iOS, almost always that's going to be taking long operations and be moving them off the main thread and then just reporting results back to the main thread. And that creates a tremendous boost in terms of perceived performance, even though the same amount of work is being done. And then the last area is going to be just caching. I'm going to say, okay, now that I've done this whole big chunk of work once, can I save it in such a way that I don't have to do it again? And that can come into a variety of different ways. This doesn't have to just be sort of something that's algorithmic. Of course, this is saving network requests. Caching, say in Check the Weather, I cache the latest weather report that I get for a particular GPS location so that if you happen to ask for that same request again 30 seconds later, I'm just going to give it back to you because the weather hasn't changed in that last 30 seconds. And so you can do things like that just overall will increase the, you know, the efficiency of your system. It's also one thing that I wanted to kind of have a slight sort of tangent on. It seemed also kind of interesting that those same three things apply, I think, more generally also to the way we approach work and work life. And by that I mean, as I approach whatever it is, sort of you could say productivity or just work in general, I can really – there's only so – if I start from an assumption that what I'm doing is, you know, worthwhile, interesting, useful, and important, there's only kind of three ways that I can do to improve my productivity. I can either find ways to do what I do more efficiently. So these are kind of things that would improve the ability of, you know, whatever it is that I'm doing. You know, this is like, you know, try writing code in Xcode versus in TextMate. If you're doing iOS development, you're going to be a lot more productive probably in Xcode in terms of it does – there's a lot of affordances and things that improve the efficiency of that process. You can defer work, which – and when I think of it in this way, is taking it off the main thread, is delegating, is outsourcing, is taking that work and having someone else do it. So this is having someone else do your taxes, having someone else do your help desk, having someone else do your graphic design, your icon design, taking things where you can defer that work away from yourself in a way that increases your productivity, and then caching is an interesting thing when you try and apply it to yourself, because that makes me think about trying to be good about – you think about things like code reuse, which is a classic example of something like that, or even just kind of being mindful about how you work and remembering the mistakes you've made before and being kind of mindful of that so that you can avoid making the same mistake again. That could be in a formal way if you like, but generally for me, it's just something that I try and part of it, honestly, that's why I do this show, is that it helps me to think through the mistakes I've made in a way that helps me avoid doing them in the future. And so that's, getting a little bit esoteric, but that's just kind of something that I was thinking about as I was preparing this talk to talk about kind of how I go about performance. I think you can apply that same thing into a lot of different areas in your life, and the result is pretty good. Anyway, that's it for today's show. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, or complaints, I'm on Twitter @_DavidSmith. I'm on AppNet @DavidSmith. You can email me, david@developingperspective.com. And otherwise, hope you have a great week, happy coding, and I will talk to you later. Bye.